tag team back again.
Yes, that's us.
That's an old YTMND of two guys Eiffel Towering a lady.
Oh boy, classic internet.
Yes. Isn't YTMND coming back? Isn't that something I heard?
Yeah, it's either came back or, yeah, I know it went away for a bit, which was like an end of an era kind of thing.
We're not going to play video games for you this time, but yeah. I happen to be playing a video game. there's no getting around it. The now that we've opened the video game box, I have to be free to click my controller. Because this is when we get to talk, it's one of the few times I actually do get to like veg out and like play a game, and I can't resist. Actually,
well, you know that if it's not going to be on screen, I'm not going to play because I'll just be too distracting.
Yeah, right.
I'll just be like, what? Okay, sure.
So, wild week in politics. What's been going on in the real world?
Yeah, I just want to touch on that briefly because. I just want to talk about the fact that, like, so we had that crazy debate.
Yeah.
And it was, like, the most important, frustrating thing that's happened in a while.
Yeah.
And now, 2 days later, I feel like it's irrelevant.
I know. It's crazy. And that's not even close to the only example of that.
It's like
some major headline, and then the next week, you're on to the next major headline.
It's like so exhausting. So yeah, I'm clearly talking about the president came down with COVID, which is just like, okay. All right.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg died. That doesn't matter now either.
On to the next thing. It's like, you know, I know it's like a cliche to be like, whoa, 2020, but it is, I don't know. It's a lot of stuff right now.
Yeah. There's no, I don't deny that the year has been quite the year. But there is something kind of, I don't know. I remember years ago, we were linked to an article. It was something, it was like commodity comedy or something. It was like this analysis of like the way that people kind of parrot each other's jokes.
Yes.
And like the effect of social media, you know, how that like amplifies that. And that like, for some reason, it gets up my skin like more than anything in the world. Like it, just unfunny people saying the same unfunny things to each other over and over again. And, you know, whether it be a turn of phrase, like, so we did a thing and they got married or whatever, whatever pop phrasing is of the moment. It's okay. I know that people adopt language from one another, but, yes, the 2020 jokes are of that ilk of like 2020, what celebrity's gonna die next, which started in like 2016.
Yeah.
So I'm,
yeah,
I'm already like, I've got 2016 fatigue.
But now it's 2020.
You're right. It's crazy. It's especially, you seem really tuned into that. And I agree with it completely. The whole like, the cycle of things, the like, you try to give something weight, you try to say like wow, like let's all stop and breathe this in, and then it's you just can't. Like whatever, I forgot that it even happened, and then it, my god, like what if like 8 months passes and you try to tell somebody like remember when that happened, and they're like not really.
Yeah, like even like impeachment happened earlier this year, and it's like
exactly.
Nobody even references it.
Or like you reference this one a lot, but I think it's like maybe one of the most quaint ones, which is was net neutrality. Like, remember when that was like the biggest effing deal?
Like, yeah, now it's like
stop them.
Like, I guess the internet's been over for a few years.
Yeah, you said but, it would be, and it would be, and so your credibility is intact.
Yeah, well, and then yeah, we're on to the next thing. It's just it's so much, so yeah, so many events. But anyway, in my life, yeah. Outside of that, yeah, I mean, not much. We filmed stuff last week. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was amazing. We this was quite a weekend. Let me see if I can set the stage on this. So Halloween season, we touched upon it last time, is always a difficult content time for us because we raised the bar pretty early in our channel's life where we were like, when we did the first Halloween special, I think we were getting 300 views per video, like if that. It certainly hadn't been on Reddit yet. And I had this concept in my head. This is before we did this many, many more times. But I had this concept in my head of like how funny it would be to do this kind of completely off format. Like all of a sudden, like you've been watching this cooking show and suddenly you're watching a very different show. So much so that like it, you wonder if like you're on the wrong channel, but like it is in fact that 600-pound dude in the chef's coat. So like, I don't know, I was just delighted by, I think also because we hadn't shown our hand yet. I mean, that was like episode 17 or something. We hadn't shown our hand yet as filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
Like if for all anybody knew, we were just average YouTubers. Like we didn't have years of like filmmaking experience, like feature filmmaking experience. So to just kind of like, you know, slap that dick on the table seemed like a fun thing to do. And at the time you and I hadn't shot a narrative together before.
Yeah. And I think we were just jonesing to do something like that together.
Yeah. So we did it and it was like super fun. We shot it on Columbus Day, as I recall.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was a holiday and we went into Nina's office and like shot in Nina's office surreptitiously.
Yeah.
And, so that was a great experience, but I don't think we did any other, maybe one or two videos. I'm trying to think. I don't think we did any other Halloween content that year, really. I think we did the making of, and that was about it.
I think that was the Halloween content. Because
the Halloween content was doing a big special.
Because even Boxmack, I don't even think was weekly yet, or if it was almost weekly.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it was just like, I don't know, we're still feeling things out, and all of a sudden, yeah, we came up with that. So
right, that's right. So there was no like sense of a schedule. I mean, there was maybe a little bit of that, but not much. And then the following year, we did at least a few Halloween Junk Carts in addition to this big narrative, you know, follow-up to the first one. And that was another big, long, exhausting day, but like super fun. And we went like very cinematic with that one. I actually rewatched that one the other day and I thought it was a blast. Like it actually was cracking me up the whole time. Like John's shadow and like the scene where John like keeps approaching the blankets and stuff.
Dun, 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 dun.
That was really funny. And I like just the actors are pretty good in it actually.
Yeah.
And the donut shop and stuff, like it all kind of works for me. But that was the first year that was like, not only am I going to make you jizz from the special, I'm also going to throw some, you know, Junk Carts at you and maybe this, that, and the other. And then the next year I had Gloria and you had Gabe. And I was like, well, we can't do that again. And so I was like, oh, what's an easy way out of this? You know, so we can still kind of honor the tradition, which now is only a 2-year long tradition, but I still was like, we can't let them down. And at that point, Matt reentered my life and I was like, well, we could just sick Matt on it. Matt can just do most of the work. And then we'll do like, you know, a quick green screen thing that's like Mystery Science Theater and it'll be done. Well, it ends up turning into like the biggest special that we did and probably the best one. And it was a big to do. It was like, it ended up being pretty complicated. And once again, now I think by that year, I was releasing a piece of Halloween content every Tuesday and every Sunday throughout all of October.
Yeah.
And, but not just like commentaries on Tuesdays, like fucking full ass Junk Carts on Tuesdays. And like, yeah, just went completely crazy with it. Not to mention the Christmases that come in between. And then did it again with Boxdemic, and Boxdemic was, I think, the first 2-day shoot that we had done. But again, that was also me trying to, I was like, well, if it's just like a crappy movie, you know, then it can be, but that's the thing is like every time, every year I've had to innovate, like, okay, how do I do this in a way that's big and special, but without killing myself? And so we come up with like these weird outs and then they turn into something really fun and really different than the previous year. So then you keep kind of figuring it out and then you feel pressure to do it again. So then last year, of course, was False Graph. So that was like, we were trying to mount an effort to do a narrative thing, but then it was like, oh, we could do like a found footage thing. And it, that turned out really new and different. And but every time I'm just like nailing it with, and what that means is that, that to start planning it, you really have to start in August, because like, I mean, you can get a lot of content done in one day. But if you're going to do every Tuesday and every Sunday through all of a month, if you're going to do, if you're going to release 8 videos that are all of a Halloween theme, like you really have to plan that out, and not just the shooting, but all like most of all the editing. We tend to shoot them late September historically, like September, yeah, like whatever, like the last weekend of September is, seems to be what we always do. But yeah, like even if you, as you start forecasting it, you're like, all right, if I, after I put my kid down, if I edit until it's reasonably late, and you can't like sleep deprived for too many days in a row.
No.
You know, that will get me 2 hours of editing a night. And, you know, the average video takes like 6 or 7 probably. And I'm fast. Yeah,
that sounds about right.
Yeah. So it's like a 3 or 4 day effort. You know, you just start to realize like, oh, and you can't just like stay in all weekend and edit, you know?
No.
Like, yeah, the weekends are
other basically responsibilities. And
yeah. Yeah. Or, and even if like I had a relatively free weekend, I probably would use it either to shoot more content or to like, or to spend time with the family. So we, you know, it was starting to get late into September. I wanted to shoot something, not the last weekend of September, but the one before that. But then John put together like a get together. Don't judge us. And it's a COVID bubble, I guess. And so he's like, yeah, I can't really shoot that weekend. And we started talking at the get together. And I was like, all right, well, what are we going to do? And by that point, I was thinking we were going to do the unfriended Skype, really, you know, because that might be a way to do it more easily for us. And it was sort of thematic with COVID and 2020 and stuff. And, but there were still, now we have this ritual of doing snacks, like Halloween snacks every year. We always have to do Pirate Pizza Review. My mom has to make a costume. You know, so like we keep like establishing new traditions and rituals. Oh, and no views. Like we have to do a no views, in my opinion.
And, in my opinion.
Because I just think
maybe really, no one else's, but
yeah, no one else's. We'll see. I think people might. I think like there's a certain kind of fan that's coming around to no views.
Well, this like, one's think, this one's got some good, really good, funny moments in it.
Yeah,
and all of the movies, all the shorts are awful.
So I said, yeah, why don't we do this? Why don't we? You know, I figured EJ won't be around, so what we'll do is we'll shoot the snacks because we had bought all the snacks by this point. We'll shoot no views and we'll shoot, you know, time permitting, we'll do Pirate Pizza Review because that just requires like Matt and Zach and stuff. It doesn't even really require Matt. Like it's more like Matt insists on Pizza Pete. And I always kind of get the vibe from Zach that he like doesn't want Matt in there.
Yeah, maybe.
But then I think
probably get the vibe from me too.
But then he kind of turns around on it eventually, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were just going to do that. And then EJ was like, well, I can actually be available next weekend if that's when you guys are doing it. So he said, oh, great. Well, that means we have EJ. Okay. Well, it would be much better to have EJ shoot Pirate Pizza Review. He'll get to shoot the snacks. That's cool. Cause the snack videos have always been shot by one of the B squad. And it was like, oh, well, then there's always going to be a Box Mac segment for whatever special we end up doing later, like a cooking segment. So he can shoot the cooking segment. And I had come up with this idea of doing a harvest snack, like a, you know, something with sausage and peppers and that kind of thing. And so you were like, yeah, I'm down. And I start thinking through the day and I'm like, this is going to be a really long day, actually. Because you have to do, you know, no views. Like it turned out John came to the table with 12 short films, which I didn't expect. So that alone, like if each of them is 2 minutes, that's 24 minutes plus commentary. You know, it's going to take a while. And we have to set up the no view set again because we don't have a studio anymore. So where are we going to do that? So we decided to do it in John's piano room. Nina and I drop glow, you know, there's where you're going to put glow for all this. So we dropped glow off at Nina's mom's for a sleepover. And Nina and I went over there at nighttime actually. And John knew damn well that we were coming over to the house to shoot the next morning. This dude doesn't lift a finger. Like, to like the whole piano room is just looks like someone took a trash dump on it. I mean, I just can't believe it. But anyway, so we set up the curtains, we set up the lights, we do the whole thing. He was like watching anime remotely with some friends. And so he like came out in his jammies to be like, "Hi, Frankie, how you doing? Good to see you." Like, while we were just walking around his house, like unattended. so we got that all set up. And then we got there at 8. You said you were going to be there at 10. So I said, okay, here's what we'll do. No views before anybody else. That's tripod only. Set that up at nighttime. Knock that sucker out. Then we should. Oh, and Matt was like, "Oh, I have to go to my job at like," he said, "maybe at 1 o'clock. So it's okay. Well, if we start at 8 o'clock, that's like 2 hours to do no views. Then EJ is going to come at 10. We'll do Pirate Pizza review at my house. Knock that out because Matt needs to be in that. So that'll be priority. And then we'll do the cooking segment because that really should be the priority for EJ's skill set. And then time permitting, we'll do the snacks. And then Matt decides that like the snacks are the most important thing to him in the world. And that he really wants to like co-host on that and be part of that. I'm like, God damn it. I was like, dude, I'm already prioritizing you, you know, for this other thing. He's like, yeah, but could you just make it so that we could come back here and then, you know, could we start with snacks, then do Pirate Pizza? You know, I'm like, well, EJ is coming from 3 hours away and like, we have to make good use of the time and we can shoot the snack videos anytime. He's like, but could you just reschedule it so that it's this, that? And I'm like, no. So sure enough, we wrap no views, we go to Pirate Pizza review, and by the way, both of those videos are now edited and done. And then the night before, while I'm planning everything and trying to get everything in order, Nina and I sit down for like a quick dinner and we pop on Food Network and they're doing like Halloween Baking Championship, which is a great show. And I'm like, wait a minute, the hell with the Skype Halloween special. We'll do, this will be like, we can knock the whole thing out tomorrow. We'll do one of these Halloween Baking Championship things where like you can be the host and, you know, like with EJ's, you know, gizmos and gadgets, he can shoot it, you know, with long lenses and do the slow-mo and, like, it'll be, most of it will happen in editing anyway, because that's like, those shows are just, you know, those reality shows are completely made in editing. And so I was like, this will be great. This, and it'll be funny, and it will kind of recenter the special around the cooking segment. So it's funny, we started out with our first Halloween special trying to depart from Box Mac as much as possible. And now we're back to like, oh, how do we like make it into a cooking show again?
but it is... unique. And yeah, you sent out a video like on Slack the night before, I think, being like, yeah, hey, this is what we're gonna do. And I was like, yes. I packed my lenses. I'm like, this is what I've been made for.
It's almost like this keeps happening every year where like we're like, oh, here it comes, we got to come up with something. Okay, I guess this. And then something else happens where you're like, oh wait, no, John has a ton of false graphs and he needs to go pick up some in Connecticut or whatever. So we shot it and it was super fun and really shooting that stuff, that reality show stuff. We did it in the yard and we just kind of were like having a blast coming up with different shot ideas. And the thing that kind of came out the funniest was like, I had this instinct to do like kind of a lightly Southern voice when I was interviewed, which will not be congruent with the rest of the cooking segment. And so once I did that, and I was basically impersonating that woman from Gordon Ramsay, the one about like, it's an undone focaccia bread, you know, that whole thing. And once I did that, John was like, well, I need to be Southern too. And John, like the way he performs it is like aggressive. He's like, my name's Jonathan Hunt. I'm from Southeastern Massachusetts. And I think it's, I haven't edited it yet, but I have essentially 3 weeks now. So that should be great. We didn't have time to do snacks, but then we're gonna do them tomorrow. So and after all that, Matt gets to be part of it. because we didn't do it. And I had to rub that in his face a little bit, where I was like, dude, that's why we did it last, was because it was the least priority. So if we couldn't do it that day, we would bump it to another time. So we have a ton of snacks too. It's going to be crazy. It was like Target like had everything this year. That'll be fun. Yeah,
they said like Halloween candy sales are like up this year, even though like really? Halloween's going to be like canceled.
That's interesting.
I don't know if fun. People are just buckling down.
And then actually candy. My mom still plans on making Gloria a costume. It sounds like Gloria insists on being a witch again. And so my mom's going to make her a glow in the dark witch this time. And I think my dad wants to make Gloria's kind of into scarecrows. So my dad wants to do like a family activity where we make a scarecrow. And I think I'm going to be shooting that tomorrow a little bit, or I'm going to see where it takes me. And that'll be kind of fun, because I don't think the Halloween stuff with my parents needs to really be a junk cart anymore. Mm-hmm. I think it's been established now, and we can kind of just do our own show for that, especially with like the treehouse video, which was extremely well received. That sort of stuff makes me feel confident that I can break off and make something that doesn't fit cleanly into another show or require John's presence.
Yeah. Just make it. I wouldn't worry about it.
Well, I think we've done a good job transforming the channel into the things that we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It took because as we've talked about many times, the subscribers want you to make the things they came for. But I think we've done especially given that we have such a small audience, I think we've done a pretty good job of, for a while it was like, well, you can only put a Box Mac on a Sunday. Then it was like, well, you can put Box Mac or Junts Card. That's fine. Cause like that's equivalent. And then event like this Sunday, it's going to be no views. It's going to be a 38 minute no views. You think people didn't watch it before? My God, 30. they're going to see that. They're going to shit themselves. Yeah, so that's a pretty good, I think you're only going to miss two Tuesdays, because it's going to be all the content I just talked about, which is five shows, no views, Pirate Pizza review, the special, my mom's stuff, and snacks. And then you're going to get last year's commentary one of the Tuesdays. And then this upcoming Tuesday, I'm at that 10-hour compilation of all of our content in a random sequence with a VHS filter. I'm going to put that up too, so people can, kick back and watch 10 hours of Halloween content if they want to. So it should be good, but I don't know, man, like just to be candid, like I, it's not super fun to try to do this jigsaw puzzle every year. And it's increasingly unnecessary to feel as though I'm going to disappoint people if I don't stack content to the brim.
So, I doubt people would really care. I think as long as there was like a Halloween themed Box Mac, it would be fine.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before. You kind of feel the same way, which is there is a sense of responsibility to like, oh, I really don't want to disappoint people. There's a little bit of that.
I think that's more with getting consistent content out rather than doing the same things every year. Like I think as long as there's something consistently, I think people will be
happy. One of our greatest traditions was broken this year, which was we always do Grandma's Attic, the church fair.
Oh right.
And it just didn't happen this year for COVID reasons, obviously, which is kind of a bummer actually, because we hadn't missed a year. We missed 2014. But other than that, we hadn't missed a year since 2013.
Wow.
So it's kind of a bummer.
I'm going to be producing pumpkin spice ribs, so that'll be my contribution.
Oh, right. There you go. So that's actually seven videos.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been getting the supplies for that. And I also have another video, which is not really Halloween-y, but I made a roast for my birthday, and I filmed it.
Because you couldn't not.
Because it was like one of those things. Like I bought a roast for my birthday. I have to film it, right?
I got some pumpkin spice apple cider from the supermarket last week. That was interesting. Because it basically just introduces like the nutmeg flavor and stuff without, and it kind of gets rid of like the apple tang that's in cold cider. It's pretty good. It's it doesn't like suddenly taste like pumpkins or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like a mulled cider is pretty good, you know?
Yeah. I also, you ever have like pear cider?
No. There's an
orchard nearby that sold that one year, and it was a revelation. Again, it's not nearly as tangy or sweet as an apple cider, but it's kind of nice. It's like got that like pear thing.
Yeah, the pear thing that the pears do.
You know, you guys, what you do, the good work that you do.
You pear people.
It was fun though. We got in a nice full day of shooting. Which was the second in 2 months, which is cool. It means that we've actually made a little content together, which is fun.
Yeah. Well,
that was another challenge, actually, I just want to talk about briefly, which was we already did the Oots Cheese Ball episode, as well as two others after that, the Cheetos and the Stop and Shop ones. And those are all getting bumped to November. Because yeah,
the highly anticipated Cheetos one.
Yeah, this is going to have to get bumped. But the other thing that made it kind of challenging was the Oots one was the first time that like I went off and bought a ton of ingredients. You know, I kind of basically got sick of hearing John like kvetch about like, ooh, I don't have butter. Ooh, I don't have milk or whatever his general issues were. So I just like bought him everything he could possibly want. And it was super fun because as we talked about last time, he had to kind of, you know, whip together a recipe with ingredients I gave him. Well, we ended up doing that again for this Harvest Mac thing. And it was tempting to reference last time or act like we had never done this before. You kind of can't out of sequence, but the fact that we ended up styling it like the Food Network ended up working in our favor.
Yeah. No, this will be really fun.
That differentiated it enough. These are all the stupid little things you got to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of things to keep in mind when you're juggling all this content and setting up all these. Yeah, I had to get some childcare myself. It's just, there's a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the childcare, like, notwithstanding. So I think probably, just to warm everybody up, I think next year I'm going to downsize.
I think that's wise.
Yeah. Get ready. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there will be a Halloween special proper next year, or if it'll be more like we just do some Halloweeny stuff and that's what your fucking content is.
Yeah, you could make it all into a Halloween special. Like,
yeah,
we do some treats and then we do a box mac and then we do this and right. Like,
exactly.
I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Of course, we say that now, and then next year will come.
Well, all it takes is like a really good idea to kind of take you away, you know, or like, well, but we could do this. It would be amazing.
It's like, when I came up with beans for my dad, I put everything to the side to make that.
Exactly. And as did I with the Rocky montage, the remaster. Yeah, I have a blast when we shoot, for sure. Especially when you're there and when Zach's there and, you know, it's the old gang and stuff. And we have like a real mission. Like we know what we're shooting. We know why we're shooting it. But, I don't know. A few years ago, John could keep up with this stuff a little bit better. And nowadays, like, if you're not shooting with him, you got to tell him to go sit down, basically. Like you have to always keep in mind, like, oh, he, like, we can get the shot and then he's got to go sit down again. Or he loses his energy earlier than he ever had. Like, we used to be able to get through two or three shows and then he would lose his energy. Mm. And now it's like, we're halfway through the fucking first episode and you can tell that, like, oh, he's like, we're losing him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, that's troublesome. I mean, aside from the fact that it obviously is an indication of his failing health.
Mm-hmm.
It's also like, this is not, it starts to feel like, should we not be doing this?
are we abusing this man?
Yeah, a little bit. Like,
Biden-ing him?
Yeah, it feels like that a little bit. I mean, obviously he would speak up if he felt like, you know, cause he still goes out of his way to make the time for it and stuff. Like, he always does want to do good content, but I don't know. I just don't know about my friend John. I just don't know. Things have, you know, he's 40 now.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Not a spring chicken.
No, no. You know, he was always, for a guy his size, he was impressively functional, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's just becoming less functional, frankly. And with me losing all this weight, it kind of bugs me more than ever, you know?
Where yeah.
Like, hey, dude, it's not that hard. Let's do it.
You know? Yeah, because I think it feels like even this last shoot felt like you had more energy.
Oh, really?
Toward the end, yeah.
Oh, that's good. Because I don't know what energy I'm giving off, really.
Yeah, that's just the vibe.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. Normally, my feet are killing me, but yeah, because you're just on your feet the whole day, and I go home and take naps normally after a shoot, which is another thing that you have to take into consideration. You're like, well, I can't really like take a nap, like with, you know, parenting and stuff. So yeah, today actually I reached a weight loss milestone.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. 51 pounds, which was the first time I saw 50 pounds, but then it plus one.
Wow.
Yeah. 50 pounds.
It's pretty impressive. And that's since
June 13th.
June. Wow. That's pretty good.
So 51 pounds in 111 days. So it's about a half a pound a day.
That's impressive.
Yeah, that's extreme weight loss, as they call it in the biz. it's been good though, man. It's
have your clothes been fitting yeah. Funny?
Yeah. Well, I the good news is I have like super fat Frankie wardrobe, like, you know, all the stuff I had to kind of rebuy to be comfortable. And then I never threw out like my, you know, my L's and my XL's. And so I'm slipping back into all those. And that's good. Cause I was 2XL for, you know, 4 years or something. Sometimes I've been thinking a little bit about like, what is it that cause here's what happened. So I spent most of my childhood, teen years, pretty svelte. I was a runner, all this kind of stuff. I quit running at one point. I never really enjoyed running. I never really enjoyed athletics in general. I just felt obligated to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I, you know, you get a little bit of money, you get a car, you're like, oh, I can go out to eat. And, you know, then you go to college and hanging out with guys like John, you know, bad influence. It's like falling in with a bad crowd for like obesity. And, but I was like, you know, I was 170 in 2010. You know, so I had lost a lot of weight around that time. And then I kind of hovered, you know, around the low 200s for many years, like, which is, you know, chubby basically, but you know, there's a lot of people who weigh 200 pounds. It's like, yeah. not the end of the world. And so I was still able to exercise and, you know, it was just a little bit husky. And that's kind of where I was. If you look at the beginning of Boxmack.
Mm-hmm.
I was, and actually I was going through like a small weight loss period around that time. So there's even some episodes where I look downright like pretty good, for me anyway. And then like, if I think the best marker is the first 4th of July episode, which was 2016. I look again, pretty thin there. And I think I was again, low 200s. And then after that, I gained like 70 pounds. And
wow.
in kind of a short period of time. And, like I think probably within like a 9 month period. And then I hovered around there basically until now. And, it's just super weird. Cause I was husky, but hanging around this other area, and then something else happened. And I've never really reflected strongly enough to be like, what the fuck happened? Why? How did that happen? I think there's really only two explanations, which is, Gloria was born in 2017.
Oh yeah.
But maybe even more importantly, I got a new boss in 2016 and
right.
Things got crazy at work, like crazy, like they had never been before. And And then that on top of becoming a new parent, I think that's what it is. I think that's the best explanation. Cause then I just like, and on top of being like, oh, I got to do Halloween specials and shit. And, you know, and stay on top of like Red Cow content. It just, I just, my health and diet and exercise were the last things I was, plus like I was doing that commute. I was commuting.
Right.
2 hours a day back and forth and shit. So things were just completely nuts. And I gained 70 pounds like out of the whole deal. And I did it without even paying attention. It's really kind of the weird part. And you know, you get like mean comments and stuff like, is Frankie pregnant? And stuff. I was like, thanks, dude. I wasn't like unaware of the fact like, ooh, I should do something about my weight at some point. But I still did lose perspective on where really how bad it was because I wasn't weighing myself. And mm-hmm. a lot of my clothes were baggy as it was. And you know, it's like, you got to gain a lot of weight before you like get out of the XL like area. So you know, there's probably like a 40 pound range on XL shirts. You know? So you kind of, you know, you wear sweatshirts and shit. So you don't know how fat you're getting. I imagine
Kevin Smith's problem.
Yeah. I imagine that a lot of fat people would say the same thing. You're like, I don't like, when did you become fat? Like, I don't really know. You know, like, suddenly got really fat. And, well, I think too, like maybe already having identified as a bigger person in the past was like, oh, well, you're already, yeah, there's like, there's kind of an element to that too, I think. What would be a good analogy? Maybe like, you know, maybe people who drink or smoke, where there's kind of like, well, you already have this habit. So this habit's not much different. And that's how you kind of like fuck yourself up. But at some point I do plan on making a video after, I don't know, after 100 pounds or something, which is, I want to lose much more. I want to get down to 150. Mm-hmm. And so that would be another 90, no, like 85 pounds to go on that.
Wow.
So that'd be cool. And I think I can do it. And I think that's like an ideal weight for my height, honestly. But yeah, I think when I get below 200 or something like that, I'd like to do a video. The only problem with doing a video though, is that like every comment's going to be like, what about the other guy? You know, I'll have to do some kind of preamble. That's like, I'm not talking about the other guy right now.
Yeah. Yep.
It's fine. Yeah. I mean, believe me, it's gone through my head of like, what could I realist, you know, with his current lack of motivation, and he doesn't show resentment or he's not bitter like towards what I'm doing. Some people have asked that, like, does he not like it or something? It's like, no, he's not that kind of guy, but he doesn't want to talk about it. That's for sure.
Yeah. I know you, but I've seen you bring it up and he's just like, no.
<It's> like, yeah. He'll be like, well, that's good. That's really good. That's kind of, you know, like, well, good job, Frankie. I'm happy for you.
Yeah, exactly.
He kind of wants to make it clear that we're not talking about him right now.
Yeah, that's true.
But it is a weird thing where you're like, well, is there something I could be doing that I'm not doing right now that would like jumpstart an effort of his? Like things that have come.
He's clearly done an effort before, so maybe there's something.
Yeah. I mean, things that have come to my mind are like, I could maybe buy him a scale that would actually weigh him. Cause there's nothing quite like knowing what your damn weight is, you know? And I think in his case, he's like, I'm really huge, you know? but I just think it's helpful for even just deconstructing the problem, just starting the puzzle of like, well, what am I going to do next about it? So, and having like a wireless one might be a thing where it could send the weight to me and I could kind of, you know, I don't know. He has to be interested, but I'm tempted
to be his like CrossFit trainer.
no, nothing like that. I'm tempted to just go shopping with him 1 week. Like maybe me and Matt, right. Do like an intervention. And it's like, we're going to go through this house. We're going to throw out all the shit food right now. And then we're going to go shopping with you and you're going to eat these meals. We're going to make you a meal plan and you're going to do it for 2 weeks. And then after that, you're on your own. Like you can do whatever you want after that. But like, I just want you to promise us that you'll follow this for 2 weeks and just see how that goes. Cause I don't, there's a lot to be said for just feeling better.
Yeah.
And I remember I said that to you early on where I was like, I think like I had lost like 10 pounds or something. And I was like, it just feels really good to be moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
And it feels good to have lost 10 pounds. Like, you know, I think you're like, oh shit, like I'm 100 pounds overweight. And you're like, well then, you know, I gotta, well shit, I gotta lose 100 pounds. F that. And then you don't do anything.
Yeah, exactly. It's too much.
Yeah.
Too much of a goal or too much of a stretch to think about. You got to do the incremental goals.
Like everything in life. You got to break it down into pieces.
Yeah. It's like anything, like making these videos or getting good at making videos. You got to start somewhere.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
With just making a crappy video.
Right, right, right. Yeah. You just got to focus on each micro task as if it's the only task basically. Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Mario Sunshine, which has been fun.
Yeah, I've been playing Galaxy, actually.
Yeah, Sunshine is special. It's not great. it's like super janky. Like I feel like the camera gets in your way a lot. The physics are not quite always there.
Right.
Like, I feel like I make mistakes that maybe aren't my own mistakes. I can't tell because but it's frustrating.
Yeah, I agree.
And, but I like the, you know, it's upscaled to HD. I like it. It looks great. Getting a shine is very satisfying, getting that shine, especially in one of the harder ones where
it's so, like, fucking hard.
Some of them are so hard, so some of them, yeah, obtuse. Like, I'll look at a guide, I don't care. I'm an adult and I don't have time to figure this stuff out. I just want to get the shine. It's like, oh well, in this stage Yoshi doesn't appear, so you have to go to this stage. Okay, all right. Good thing I didn't like walk around the stage for like 3 hours. But
yeah, I guess what I found cool about Sunshine was, even though we kind of know factually that the game's not very good, it's kind of easy to lean into it and pretend that it's good.
Yeah.
Because the art style's great. The HD makes it feel modern. It is Mario. There is great platforming from, you know, here and there.
And the music is awesome. I mean, I think it looks great. I think sometimes it can play great. Like, it's like, especially, I think when you start getting used to the jankiness, you start to feel like you're, I don't know, in the Matrix and you can do flips and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's just still sometimes where it's like, okay, the physics there weren't quite what I think they should be.
And I don't have anything against the flood mechanic. I actually think that's one of the more fun things about the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, yeah, it is fun, especially when they take it away for those special levels. You're just like, all right, I got to live without it for a bit.
Yeah, actually, those levels, like, I played a couple of those, and there's something about, like, the camera perspective where, like, I can't fucking platform properly.
What I like about those levels, I feel like they were, like, the test bed for Super Mario Galaxy, and they were, like, totally refined it for Super Mario Galaxy.
That's the thing, is that Galaxy, I hadn't played the first one maybe since 2009 or something. Like, it'd been a long time. And because it came out in 07. And I've been playing on the Pro Controller, because the Pro Controller has a Wii pointer. Mm-hmm. And so you can still do, you know, collect the star bits and stuff. And I only just recently bought the Switch Pro Controller for the first time, and it's super comfortable. I really, really like it. It's expensive, but I like it. It was like $70. But that game, I didn't have I always liked it and I always really enjoyed playing it, but I didn't have an appreciation for how many of the subsequent Mario things, were defined by it, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I feel like in some ways outside of the cap mechanic, Odyssey is almost like a weird beta of Galaxy. Like, I feel like Galaxy has some of the more advanced ideas, and I feel like 3D world in a lot of ways is kind of like Galaxy without the gravity stuff and without the story. It's otherwise just Galaxy, but it's great. It's great 3D platforming. It really, like, if you really look at Galaxy, it's just like, it's not Mario 64. It's 3D platforming. Enjoy it for that. I think I really, really do have a blast playing it, I have to say. And the HD looks amazing. It looks so much better than it did when it was first released.
Yeah. It's, I think it's one of my favorite games of all time. I think it's a top 10 game because it's just the music, like the orchestrated music is just nuts. The platforming is amazing. It's so creative.
Yeah.
And I, not that the games that came after it, you know, are bad. It's just, there was just like a, I don't know, they were on something that really worked.
I agree. I do think that the cap mechanic in Odyssey is really, really great.
Oh yeah. I think Odyssey's like really good, but for some reason I don't think of it often. Like I 100%ed it and I had a blast with it, but I think about Galaxy way more than I think about Odyssey.
That makes sense. But even though it's dwarfed by its sequels, there's something magic about Mario 64 still that I can't put my finger. There's something that they got right on that they never really quite tried to do again.
I can't put my finger on it either, and I actually agree with you that there's like more of a fluidness to Mario 64, oddly enough, even though it looks like a, you know, I've always said that the N64 times was like the pubescent years of video gaming because it's just all janky and all jagged.
Some of the replaced assets they did and some of the upscaling, it looks really nice on the Switch. It's clearly the best way to play the game.
Yeah, it looks great. I know speedrunners don't like the inverted camera and the...
Oh, yeah, or for that
they,
matter...
They fixed the glitches, yeah.
Exactly. One analogy I have for hey, they got this right the first time and then they never really were able to or never tried to redo it again is Sonic Adventure. I think Sonic Adventure 1 has something Mario 64-esque about it, something special that made it feel really new and made it feel really Sonic. Like it really added a new thing to the whole Sonic. You know, he was just kind of great 2D platforming games before that. And then people like Sonic 2, but I think Sonic 2 is a lot weaker than, or Sonic Adventure 2 is a lot weaker than Sonic Adventure 1. And then after that, it's just a shit show. From that point on, like even the good games they've made, they don't even touch Sonic Adventure for me.
Really?
Yeah.
I played Sonic Adventure. I don't really remember it fondly. I thought it was kind of like
janky.
Yeah. I mean,
it is a little.
I liked it at first because like the Dreamcast, I was like, oh, the graphics are so much better than, you know, N64.
Yeah.
But that game, you die. There was like some strange ways to die and you'd like walk around the overworld and it was,
I think that might be what they overfixed in future games. Cause now they seem to have, for 3D Sonic games, they seem to have settled on the, they call it the boost mechanic, which is like essentially what it does is it forces Sonic to be a race car. So when you do these levels, it's like a racing game now. And instead of like in Sonic Adventure 1, it was more like Mario 64 if it was super fast.
Yeah. It more resembled 2D Sonic, but in 3D.
Yeah. And I don't know why they haven't really tried to like, and I think fans feel the same way generally that like, that's what you see a lot of fans asking for Sonic Adventure 3. Even though you could argue that they've done that lots of times.
Yeah. We never liked it.
Yeah. They never liked it. But yeah, I think 3D All-Stars is really fun. I do wish that Galaxy 2 is on there because I only got to play that game a little bit and it looks like it's the same thing.
They'll sell it to us again in a year for $60.
There's a lot of you see like YouTube videos about, you know, this means that there's now an N64 emulator and a GameCube emulator for and a Wii emulator for Switch and what, you know, the possibilities.
Yeah, who knows? It's always a hit or miss what Nintendo like thinks to do.
Well, segue. CBS All Access, is that what it is? Seth Rogen made a video game documentary for them called Console Wars, and it covers the, you know, the Sega versus Super Nintendo era in a documentary form. And I haven't finished it yet, but I'm enjoying it so far. It's pretty good. It reminds me of, do you ever watch that Netflix series, The Toys That Made Us?
Sure did.
It's kind of like that, but less derpy, less like, you know,
Yeah, cutesy.
The Toys That Made Us. It's not so much like that, but it reminds me of you know, just giving you a really good backstory on the landscape of toys at that period of time. And I always figured that Sega was extremely scrappy because they were going up against a giant, but it's a great story about a fairly small company that really had to innovate to get where it ended up going. In particular, there's the Sega of America and Sega of Japan were just like so at odds at all times.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing about Nintendo of America is they were like almost too subservient to you know, Nintendo of Japan. So
I guess what happened with Sega was they went to the guy who sold Barbie and sold He-Man in the 80s with Mattel and made a fortune for everybody. Sega of Japan went to him and said, like, we want you to kind of do the American toy thing for our video game company. And he looked at the 16-bit graphics and was like, this seems exciting. And he took it on, and he had all the marketing ideas about, like, maybe we could sell it to teens, and maybe we could get our own mascot. And what if we licensed tons of movies, television, and sports? And, you know, like, he kind of brought all that vision to the table and really made the company successful.
Yeah. And,
it's just cool. It's a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
I just got through. They had a story where Walmart wouldn't take them as a retailer. For that matter, no major retailer was taking Sega. And the reason was because Nintendo product was flying off the shelves. So why? Just why? Like,
yeah,
you're just going to win with Nintendo. And I guess they bought the nearest store they possibly could to Walmart headquarters. And they put tons of television monitors in it. And they just put up something that was like, this is the Sega Genesis store. Come on in and play video games for free here. And there was like, it got tons of traffic. And then they put tons of billboards up being like, the Sega store, the Sega store, the Sega store. And eventually, like, the Walmart CEO called them and was like, you can stop now. He's like, we'll put some product in the electronic.
You can stop.
That's how they got into Walmart. And then once you're in Walmart, at that time anyway, you know, that's when all the other retailers pay attention, and, you know, Sears was like a big deal in that whole thing.
Yeah. It's amazing all that stuff. Like, cause I haven't been to a mall all year because of COVID. So right. It's like, man, all that stuff is it just gone? I haven't been.
I worry about this, but you know, one thing that I think it'd be great if COVID killed is like old media celebrity. I could do without them forever.
What do you mean? Like,
well, like the idea of like a movie star.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, do we need our movies to be starring people we know?
I don't think so.
can it just star like actors, like theater actors or something? Like, we don't have to do this. We don't need Leo, do we?
I think it might get to there, especially because, you know. Yeah, I've been watching like The Boys, and I've been watching, Raised by Wolves. They are properties that have stars in them, you know, but really, like a lot of the characters are no names, and they're pretty good actors. And I think as there's more and more properties, that's going to be more and more the case.
Totally. I mean, there's been successful stuff with no name actors,
and I think Marvel kind of sort of does that, you know, besides, you know, the big guns. I mean, like, a lot of their main heroes are like just recent stars, you know.
Totally. They signed them early and then made them stars, basically. I have a weird feeling that Marvel might be done.
Yeah,
because nothing they have on the horizon looks interesting. Like, I don't know, like Captain Marvel is going to be the new head of the Avengers, and like, just nobody cares, you know. And maybe some of the TV will work, but I just feel like the thing that made them so special was Robert Downey Jr. and this whole thing. And they did it. They did it perfectly, and they ended it, and I think it's over. And then COVID happened on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I've said that before. I think they should just, you know, start over. They don't have to try that hard in the comic war.
Make something else up. I have a feeling that, like, blockbusters in general might be done with.
Yeah, it seemed like even with the superheroes, that was like the last gasp in a way, because it's like, this is the thing we can make to put in theaters.
I don't think big budget animation is going anywhere. That seems to make its money back, and you can produce it without celebrities if you want to. And there's all kinds of good reasons to keep making Trolls movies. Oh, yeah. But other than that, I think it's hard to imagine another Endgame anytime soon. I mean, well, that's probably an impossible standard. It's hard to imagine another fill in the blank, like a $200 million movie. It's hard to imagine that anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's hard to say. I can't look past this year, basically.
Am I the only one? Like, I keep forgetting about COVID, and I have no idea how I could possibly forget about it.
I am too. Like, I don't leave the house that often because we get all of our groceries delivered. We do Instacart because, like, we have one newborn and a 3-year-old, and we're just like, I don't want to deal with it. So I get everything delivered. But when I do go out, I totally forget about masks. Like, I'll leave my car, go like right up to the door, see the sign that says no entry without the mask, and I'm like, oh, right, that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Me too. It's every time. Or like John will be like, hey, you want some people over? And I'll be like, yeah, sure, I'll come over. And then, like, I'll talk to somebody else in my life. They'll be like, would you? Yeah, that actually happened after the shoot. I went to work. They're like, you have a nice weekend? I said, yeah, I did a shoot with friends. And they're like, oh, how does that work? I was like, we all get together and shoot. I mean, I was more aware of it early on. And then I think it's just something clicked in my mind after a while where I was like, I'm not going to not live my life. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that, where it's just like, you have to see people, yeah, you know,
yeah. If
it's like, I can't be miserable. I can't just be inside and miserable. That's worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to make this Halloween content, apparently. I really do, man. I worry about it, like, at the weirdest times of the day and night. Like, sometimes I'm at work, like, working on some stressful work project, and I'm like, I'm more focused on, like, oh, when am I going to get to edit that? Like, I'm more like Red Cow oriented a lot of the time. But we've been doing it for, I mean, this coming, what, February was the first episode of Box Mac. So we will have, I mean, basically we've been doing this for 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
There's kind of a question of, like, yeah, when do you completely abandon the structure that we've built? And I feel like, I don't know, we're probably there. this podcast builds a nice gap.
I wouldn't say we're abandoning it, but we're probably just gradually morphing stuff around to what we're interested in.
It seems to be the thing that every channel has to go through eventually.
Yeah. And everybody has to.
It tends to be the point in a channel's life when people are like, oh, I used to like them, and then they did this.
Whatever.
Whatever.
This is not how we make all of our money, you know?
Yeah, not.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. A couple grand a year.
It's not bad. It's enough to make the content.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's nice that it's not like a complete net loss, certainly.
Yeah.
On that topic, we had we should do more Patreon like shout outs during this podcast, in my opinion. But we have somebody named, I don't know if they wouldn't want their name said, so I'll just say their name is Kevin, and they bumped their contribution today from $30 to $60 a month.
That's crazy.
And that is very, very kind.
Thank you, Kevin. My goodness.
Yeah.
We should do, and actually, if you've listened this far, we should probably do this up front, is if you have any, like, questions for us,
yeah,
you should just comment just on Patreon right there on the post, and we'll get to them.
Yes, so we'll answer every question. We are your consider us your hookers.
Yeah. Like, if there's, like, any topic you want us to talk about within reason, yeah, just let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it.
And if we ever... If there's any interest in us doing this live someday so that there can be a chat and we can, like, talk to you off the cuff, I would be into doing that now and again.
Yeah, I think like a periodic
thing.
It'd
be fun.
There is something fun with just being with Frankie.
Because Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I don't want to let you people into our bedroom here.
Yeah, this is this is therapeutic for us. And but every once in a while, we can let you in. You know, you can jerk us a little. It'll be fine.
Yeah, well, I do like getting to know everybody a little bit. You know, there was a funny Reddit post this week where somebody discovered that that you can get early access to BoxMac by looking at the Mac DB. Because there's hyperlinks to the episode that we're referencing, and I always complete the MacDB as one of my sort of like tasks for completing an episode. So I haven't tried to hide it. I just figured nobody would ever look at it or find it. And if they did, good on them, you know. But I didn't expect somebody to be like, hey, everybody, come to the MacDB. So I may need to close the loophole, but I do think it's kind of fun. It's fun when a fan finds an Easter egg like that. Yeah. Some people don't seem to, maybe it's because we haven't advertised it in a really long time, but new Sunday content always goes up on the website the day before. So you can get it Saturday every time. That is not a secret. That's
yeah.
To drive website traffic.
That's a feature.
It's a feature. So, you know, some people will be like, wow, it really paid to visit the website today. Look at this thing. And I'm like, no, that is to incentivize you to use the website.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll add something to a playlist before it goes live too.
Oh, that's fun.
So it's always good to check those things out.
Yeah, you gotta
especially the website.
Yes. Yeah, that website is quite something. There's a lot of content over there. I only had one other topic. No, I have two topics of conversation left. One is most people probably saw the video where I advertised the fact that we got into a film festival.
Oh, right. We forgot to talk about that last time. We
forgot to talk about it last time because we must not give a fuck.
We're playing video games.
We were playing video games. Yeah. Like I said in the video, it was the Massachusetts Independent Film Festival. Actually, Miss Noodle works for that festival. So I don't know if we got in because of her. I don't think it was nepotism, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I kind of doubt it. We got into that same festival with having fun up there, and we actually won a bunch of awards for it and stuff. And so that was a really cool experience where we actually got to go to the Brattle Cinema and see the movie, you know, live with an audience and all that stuff that you kind of dream about when you're making a movie. And none of that was true this time. It was an entirely virtual experience, and the way that they doled out the information, and like, they didn't interact with us one bit.
No,
for sure we would be doing a Zoom Q&A or something.
No. Yeah, you'd think there would be something, yeah, to enhance, like, to make the film festival worthwhile. That's like, you pay $5 to stream a movie all the time, you know.
Here's what happened. We got a notice from them, an email notice that said, like, congrats. It was a kind of like a low-key congrats, and then it was like, we don't have your digital file, send it to us. So I did, and then they never confirmed that they got it. And I actually asked for confirmation. I Facebooked them and stuff. I asked for confirmation several times. They never got back to me. Then I knew that, like, the festival was going to be virtual. And I was like, okay, I get it, COVID and stuff. But maybe it'll be fun because then we could actually drive, you know, hey, for their, we've got a few thousand followers. Maybe we can get a few hundred to come to their virtual festival. That'd be good for them. They didn't tell us what the fuck was going on until, no, they didn't tell us. They put it on their Facebook 2 days before they sold the movie, or sold rentals to all the movies. They were like, oh, you can, and up until this point, the buy tickets button on their website was broken. So they're like, you can buy an all access pass for $50. And at that point, that was the only way you could see them. And so I made the video because I wanted people to at least know that we got into the festival. But essentially what I'm saying in that video is, that's a really stupid way to watch this movie. Just buy it from our website if you haven't seen it yet. And then a day later, after I post that, they're like, oh, actually, for $5, you can buy a ticket to the block that, you know, of your choosing. So, for five, you know, I was like, well, that would have been nice to know more than a day in advance.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you guys doing?
There was like no communication with us. There was nothing. So we didn't, knew things probably right as you would learn them.
And then we didn't get nominated for any awards, and, you know, whatever. But I didn't watch any of the movies, but look, I do know views for a living. And my guess is that, I mean, I've seen film festival movies before, and so that to us part is no undoubtedly more entertaining than the average movie at that festival. Like, yeah. Come on. Yeah. I know that's arrogant to say, but it's got to be true. So we didn't even get like an audience where we didn't get shit, and it just came and went. I'm sure basically no fans of ours bought tickets to this thing. Yeah, it was all like
I put a post on Facebook, and I think my parents watched it. So, oh, so they actually watched the block.
They watched the block. Yeah, I wonder if they like watched any of the other movies in the block.
I actually didn't ask them. They only talked about our movie. So
you know how shitty. Well, what was their review? Did they enjoy the movie?
They liked it. Yeah. You know they. It's like my they liked it because I made it, so
yeah, totally.
it's hard to say. They like, even if I went to the movies with my dad right now, he'd be like, oh, it's good, and that's all you'd get out of him.
I mean, I get that, but I get it more with like a narrative where they're like, they don't know how to like review or like absorb a narrative. But at least with a documentary, it's like, it's just, it's a little bit more down to earth. It's a little bit more about a real thing that maybe they can.
Yeah. Oh, they definitely thought it was fun. They liked the Lori wedding plot and stuff like that.
Oh, so, yeah, that kind of worked.
So
yeah.
there's stuff to grab onto.
Yeah, I think it's a fun little watch. It probably belongs on some like non Netflix streaming platform.
I mean, like sub Netflix.
Yeah, sub Netflix. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was, the whole thing was, it was a complete fucking dud. and there's nothing else to say about it, really.
There was no other communications afterwards being like, hey,
nothing.
Your block got this many views.
Not one email, nothing. There was nothing personalized ever sent to us in the entire process. Nothing.
It was kind of crazy. I mean, it's glad to be in a festival, but like it.
Yeah.
It was a frustrating experience.
Like, mind you, that was like, I don't know, $1,200 later, like after like festival submissions, mm-hmm. You know, and that's all I have to show for it. We didn't get into any of the other festivals. Like, look, I hope that fucking movie celebrities go away, and I hope that film festivals go away, because film festivals have always been total scams. Even the really good experiences I've had, you can tell that like, what's this doing for anybody other than like giving them an op, like it gives you an opportunity to screen your movie in front of some people that otherwise might not see your movie. I've had some really good experiences, but most of them are like, there's no audience. You're spending way more money on this thing than makes sense. It certainly doesn't create distribution opportunities for you or anything. It just doesn't. Film festivals need to go the hell away.
Yeah.
Although I do think that an online festival could make a lot of sense and could work.
If it was actually like planned out better and
yeah, my vision for an online festival would be like definitely Q&As that are streamed from all the filmmakers where you can ask them questions in the chat, where it's really, really affordable to see lots of movies. That would be, you know, a draw for sure. And then also like maybe you can buy season passes where you can also attend like Google Hangouts or something with, prominent, you know, maybe you get like a prominent cinematographer who's going to talk about like, you know, a little cinematography workshop for a half hour with, you know, a group of people online or something. Like you could do a whole kind of online program. And I bet people would go, and it'd be cool. It'd be like a cool way to grow community and show movies that otherwise wouldn't get shown. But you have to think about it, and you know maybe there's room for that though, because I feel like the big expensive thing with running a film festival has been getting space, especially in cities, and coordinating the whole like space of it all. But if you put it all online, it might completely take on a different complexion.
It is fun, you know. I mean, whenever we stream our stuff and we are in like the chat or something, it's always fun. So in a smaller scale,
so much more satisfying than a festival in some ways.
Yeah,
maybe we should do like, I have in all seriousness fantasized before about like doing a no views festival. It's kind of something along the lines of what I just described. And it's just something that Red Cow puts on. Could be kind of fun.
Yeah, man. The Red Cow Film Festival.
You'd have to find good movies. That's the only trick.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. Yeah, it was an interesting experience. I like that, you know, we can put it under our belt that we did it, but
yeah, it at least gives the movie, it makes the movie real in some capacity.
Yeah, because like I don't know. Because I like my parents didn't even see it, and then I just put that link up, and they're like, "Oh, I guess we'll check it out." And I mean, they're done with technology, and they were able to watch it, so that's good.
That's good. Yeah, they did it all on Vimeo. Yeah. It was weird, man. They even when they announced like the winners, they didn't send an email. They just kind of shed it out on social media.
Does this like one person like do this without a communications team?
I think so. If you go to their website, it's the shittiest website you've ever seen in your life. Nobody ever has a shittier website than that. yeah, it was bad. So there's that, and there was the South Park pandemic special this past. You haven't seen it, right?
I haven't seen it. I have it on HBO Max, but I haven't watched it yet. Yeah,
it's really good. I think it's really cool that they decided it's the first ever hour long South Park episode.
Wow.
Yeah. They've only ever done half hours. They've done lots of, you know,
the two parters
and three parters and stuff like that, but they've never done this. I think it's just back to the 2020, like Jesus, this is a crazy year. I think it was just like South Park has been relied upon for so long to have some kind of like, you know, there's almost a meme of like, man, the South Park creators are going to go crazy for this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think they probably were under a pressure that they've never been under before to have something to say about the whole thing. And it's so much more, like, they would have had a lot to say in April. You know, but like, they ended up having something to say about the police brutality stuff, COVID, returning to school, China, the politics of the whole thing, people being locked in their houses, all this stuff that's been, even the forest fires that and like factored into it eventually. It's all there. But my favorite part about it, now I don't think this is ruining anything for you, so I'll just tell you about it, is so of course the episode is called The Pandemic Special, which is a riff on last season's thing where Randy is now he sells weed. And so he had like a Halloween special of his weed and a Christmas special of his weed. And that was like a recurring meta joke. So that's the premise of this, is that Randy has, you know, everybody's out of work, so he's making the pandemic special. And everybody in town like keeps like over complimenting him about how important it is during this crazy time to have a pandemic special. There's like a guy who's like lost his wife to COVID, and he's got like his kids won't talk to him, and he's out of work, and he's like, but I just want to tell you, you're doing the most important work of all by making this pandemic special. He's like, okay, thanks. So you're like, he feels bad about it, or like he's like obsessed with like making it. And Sharon's like, there's all this shit going on in the world, and all you care about is your pandemic special. And it reminded me of our, you know, our content or something. Like all we could think of is like, how do we turn this into a bag trash? This is really good. Those guys are so good, and I think they nailed it on this one. It's got all the scatological humor that you would expect too, which is like, for me, I just think it's great that South Park never quite lost that. Like it's still shit and dicks and,
you know, hey, you know, some stuff just works.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of funny because, like, you know, like my son just all of a sudden just started using like potty humor, and it's like,
oh yeah,
it's just weird. In us, man. It's in us.
It's so true.
It's like
I'll just be like, you know, hey Gloria, I just took a huge poop. And she'll think it's the funniest thing. There's something about it that like, we know how funny it is that we do this. I think you're right.
Yeah. I think there is.
Yeah. Well, those are all my topics. You got anything that we haven't covered?
Not really. I mean, yeah, I got my roast, got my ribs. my pumpkin spice ribs. I don't think there's anything else I really wanted to talk about. No. I got a magic keyboard. That's pretty. Talk about that. For my iPad. Man, that thing's awesome.
How is it that a magnet allows you to connect a keyboard these days?
Yeah, that's the great thing about Apple products. Probably there's a lot of downsides, maybe. I don't know. But I like the ecosystem and how everything just works.
Right. Right, for sure.
Because I've been using the iPad just alone for so long, and then I got the Magic Keyboard for my birthday. And yeah, it like does that hovering thing where you're just like, how does this heavy thing balance on top of this not heavy thing?
And yeah, it's incredible engineering.
It's like, I don't understand it.
It's a great laptop alternative. I mean, if you can't afford whatever they sell their laptops for these days, $1,500 or whatever, yeah, it's a great alternative.
And here's one thing I like about it that I didn't realize would be so beneficial. It's like, you put it on your lap and it doesn't get hot the keyboard is just the keyboard. And then it like hovers the everything else that would get hot like somewhere else. So it's like, this is kind of nice. I'm not getting like a Bernie legs.
I gave when I gave that to Nina, she mostly was going to use it to catch up on her charts at nighttime, and I was expecting her to like completely be trackpad based and keyboard based because she was really looking for like the laptop experience. And then it's always interesting to watch other people use technology and like what kind of works for them, because I don't think I'm a good sample case for that. And she was like, for some tasks, she was using the trackpad and trying to use it like a traditional mouse. And then for other stuff, she was really happy to have the touchscreen and be like, oh, now I'm going to use gestures and, you know, my fingers and stuff. She was just going back and forth.
That's kind of interesting with the editing software that I have, is adding the keyboard to it. Mm. You actually then get shortcuts on the keyboard in addition to using the touch screen, which actually can be really fun. And it does quicken the workflow a little bit than just using the touch screen. It's because when you want to make the quick cuts, you just want click, 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 you know, and then you can zoom in with your pinch fingers, and it's great. It's a great little thing.
It is, yeah. It's the second major piece of technology you've recommended to me that worked out quite well.
Good.
GH4 being the other one. I am kind of in the market for a new camera. Is it the Nikon that you shot Pirate Pizza review on?
Yeah.
That camera's looked really good for a while. I almost like, I don't know how expensive that thing is, but it's got like a color profile that I think is superior to sometimes I think the Lumix is a little bit flat, maybe.
Yeah. It's and skews yellow in some ways, but I think the newer cameras are good. And it's tough because they keep saying that GH6 is coming, but I don't know when that would be. And who knows with the pandemic, if it was pushed off to later, and I don't know.
There's also like stabilization lenses kind of I'm back and forth on, because sometimes they really help a shoot, especially the kind of shoots that we do, and you can really tell the difference between the ones that have stabilization lenses and the ones that don't, especially for if we ever have the B squad shoot, you know, they to keep it steady. Now at least now I have like a really good camera profile for autofocus and stuff, but on the other hand, sometimes the auto stabilization looks a little like software to me, and it looks like, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's burned into the image.
Yeah.
If there's like a way to like back it off just a little bit, you never get the wavy bullshit, you know?
Yeah. I think I noticed that a little bit in the Pirate Pizza.
Yeah. But, like, is there anything you can do about that? Or is that?
Yeah. I think, it might've been, I think there, I had the aggressive, camera shake on, maybe I could.
Oh, so there are degrees that you can set. That's good.
Yeah.
But, well, that's it. No.
Yeah. No, I'm good.
I guess I'm just going to be shooting a couple extra things and then editing them for the rest of time. And then,
Then we'll be playing the Christmas special.
Yeah. And we'll be having the same, like, oh, what are we going to do conversation all over again.
Well, at least with the Christmas special, we've kind of resigned ourselves to just being like random stuff, but
yeah, it works well. It works well for sure. But it is always a big, it's like, when you do the Christmas special, it's like you're shooting 4 episodes or 5 episodes, and then it's like you're editing many more episodes than that. So yeah. all for one Sunday, but people do love it.
I want to do ginger beer for the Christmas special.
That's a good idea.
Brew some ginger beer, homemade ginger beer. That'll be fun.
Or maybe we could get that sage cheese that we tried.
Oh yeah.
Make some sage cheese mac.
Aldi had some like Halloween themed cheeses, and we tried them as like a mid segment on the upcoming Halloween special. And one of them was like sage, and it was fucking weird.
I kind of liked it, but to me it tasted like turkey gravy, but everyone else thought it tasted like Christmas trees or something.
Yeah, I thought it tasted like a pine tree. And then John was like, I'm not getting any sage at all. Like, how are you not getting the taste of fucking Christmas trees right now?
Yeah, at least like something like the green sage taste should be there, you know,
something. Yeah. All right, well, great seeing you as always, and have yourself a fabulous weekend.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.